Roll them all together.
Log Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Dr. Dre.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, here we go, people.
We got national commercials trying to bite our music.
Wow. Hey,
I know, right?
I love it.
I saw that.
That was pretty cool, man. But I mean, cool that it was the same song, but not cool that it was, yeah, that's all good. Hey, welcome to Fox Sports 12th, man. Today is Wednesday, December the 6th. We are quickly flying through the month of December, and I'm excited to be here with my fellas. I'm not going to spree you guys with DDT, guys like Ron Gronkowski, but we're going to have some fun as always, man. So, That's what we do. That's what we do, man. So, let's check in with my co-host.
You're not going to jump off the top rope like Dusty Rhodes?
I'm not going to drop these bows like Dusty Rhodes or anything like that, man. But it's all good, man.
There we go. Yeah.
Again.
Yes, sir.
I was waiting for that reference. I love it. The voices that you hear behind me, we're ready to kick this off, man. Let's kick it in. With my man, JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Like I told you, I'm off the ledge. It was a rough Monday night for the boy. But before I go any further, I just want to say happy birthday, Mom. It's her birthday today. I talked to her earlier today. Shout her out on air.
Okay.
And say happy birthday.
Okay. Happy birthday to Mom. Is it Mom Jenkins? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Happy birthday, Mom. Good deal. And we're happy
birthday,
American
Mother
that,
Jenkins.
Yeah, that's
sorry
JQ
you had to put up with JQ with all these years.
Yeah, easy.
he be coming out firing, man. But again,
I know.
America, we're just happy that JQ is not he's off the ledge, and that's what we're here. We're here to offer healing. That's what we do. The other Joker in the background that you hear is Mr. Rob Ford. Rob, how you doing this evening?
Oh man, doing good. You know, the laughter is good for the soul, right?
Absolutely.
It's Joker. All right, it's all good.
Yeah, hey, come on, man. What about the food?
Oh man, you know nothing much, man. You know, I was in Atlanta today, actually, so it was nothing major.
See, how you just slipped that on in. See,
I was in Atlanta. Just no, good. No, I ain't none.
Hey, man,
bro.
I was on the ground in Atlanta for 7 hours. It was just a day trip there and back.
Okay, I got you.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know,
all right, really
I had
quickly,
to get the pepper out of going for the Who Dat Nation.
Here we go.
That foolishness.
Oh boy. All right, it's all good, Rob. I got something for you whenever you get here too, man. I still got the Falcon jersey for you. That's why you're here, right? You're the Falcon jersey.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. Hey,
I gotta move for every move you make.
Don't waste your money, man.
It's all good. I know where you're at. All right, here we go. Got the numbers real quick. 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. 12 at the number 12, THMAN Sports. I said that kind of fast. And last but not least, follow us on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man, or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. All right, gentlemen, let's get established started here. Rob, man, bro, again, I know you're excited about college basketball. At least give us some exciting games, but yeah, go ahead and give us, I mean, I'm not talking about Kent State, Xavier, Brown, Providence, Central Connecticut, State, DePaul. All you, bro. That's all you, bro. Knock it out. Go.
Yeah, he broke out Brown and Providence.
I've been getting some grief that we don't talk enough about the little guys. So we're going to give the little guys their 30 seconds here for sure before we move on here. So I don't have to hear it anymore. But anyway, Xavier, number 16, no, actually number 13 in the country, 96-70 over Kent State tonight. Xavier, Whoa. Pretty deep basketball team, too, by the way. Obviously, have some big wins. JQ probably not going to hit us, but they have some big wins over Baylor and Cincinnati this past week. So they've beaten a couple of top 25 teams already here in the last week. And like as I mentioned, they're fairly deep and it could surprise some teams this year as well. So look out for Xavier. I know, like I said, JQ's not happy about that, but they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Providence.
I love it.
Providence needed overtime to beat Brown, beat Ivy League school. So I don't know if that's a good look for Providence this season. Rodney Bullock, of course, with 21-9 boards, helped him out with a 77-72 win over Brown. And DePaul, you know, it's been a long time since the days of Mark Aguirre and Terry Cummins and the likes of those kind of players.
Ooh.
But they had a big win over Central Connecticut State tonight. We didn't have to talk about it. It was a blowout win, but DePaul still 4-5. Long time since, like I mentioned, since the days of Terry Cummins and Mark Aguirre.
Yeah, you went back. I like it. Shout out Chicago. Shout-town.
That's what's up, bro. Rob was getting paid to talk about that, so that's the reason why he wanted to talk about those small-time colleges. I don't even know why that even came up, because there's no reason to add those to the show unless Rob is getting some type of benefits. But anyway, that's what we do. Let's kick this off here.
It's a hustle on. Hustle on, player.
Let's talk about the NBA. And this is going to be curious for JQ, because your boy, JQ LeVar, is blaming the Lakers' struggles on Luke Walton benching your man Lonzo Ball. But his brother Jello already leads the NCAA in steals. By the way, just go ahead.
See, yeah, I knew that was coming. He'd be having him queued up, and you stop putting him on me, making him my man. Man, that dude is crazy,
I gotta give you that one, Jake. I gotta give you that one, Andre.
Yeah, he's a fool. he's never gonna say anything bad about his kids, and we know that. And there's a good part to that. There's a bad part to that. And it's not often that I quote other shows that come on TV, but Shannon Sharp, Undisputed, was right. Like, he's not teaching his kids consequences for their actions. And taking Jello out of UCLA because the suspension is too hard here is crazy. And, when your son is struggling, when dudes are coming up the court and bouncing the ball around you, and putting their fingers up at the end of the game, just totally disrespecting you, at some point, LeVar can't be Lonzo's mouthpiece. He's got to do it for himself. But you can't blame everybody else. At some point, Lonzo's got to put his big boy pants on and look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm the number 2 pick in the draft. How about I go play like that? And stop letting my daddy, doing my talking for me. And it's going to come. At some point, you just can't keep putting that kind of pressure on your kid if they don't want that, that kind of limelight and attention in that kind of manner. He ain't Gary Payton that wants to get out there and mix it up and talk garbage. So, it's LeVar's crazy. I mean, they put in the media winning effect where Los Angeles won't let the media talk to the family members anymore. And, it's going to be always known as the LeVar Ball rule at this point. But, he's just going to keep talking and somebody's going to give a microphone in his face. It is, and he just talks crazy, and that's who he is. If you're expecting him to change, then you're in for a long day. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Hey, Rob, this is all you. And I guess the question, sometimes I don't know how to word this, because there are a couple times you think that the talent is worth going through all the headaches. And I guess I'll let you comment on that, too, because you wonder – eventually, will Lonzo become, if he becomes a great player, then maybe all this is, in the waste. I mean, we don't know yet, but it's just sometimes you dated that really attractive girl. You're like, man, is all her baggage worth it? I don't know. That's the question, too. So do you think it's worth all the mess right now? So if he becomes, a great player in the league, Go ahead, Rob.
Well, the most interesting thing to me, if you look at the most recent game for the Lakers, I can't remember if it was last night or the night before, Lonzo Ball came in the game in the fourth quarter. I think the game was pretty much tied. It was 98 or something like that, and they wound up losing by 15 points once he entered the game. So while he was on the court, he was a minus 15 factor for the Lakers. So I mean, there's sometimes he deserves to be benched, and he needs to be accepted. And he needs to accept that. Obviously, he's a rookie. He's still going through a lot of learning curves and things of that nature. Still has the potential to be a quality player, but his daddy needs to shut up, man. It's obvious that it won't happen, but he needs to.
Right.
And he definitely needs to. He definitely needs to shut up. And it's always not his kid's fault. I mean, obviously taking his kid out of UCLA right now, instead of leaving him there and having his kid to learn a lesson. And you know, Steve Austin made
the degree.
Quality point. Steve Alford even made the point that, you know, the kid was, you know, going to school, doing well, you know, taking his beating, taking his licks for this year. I mean, the kid is not even an NBA prospect. He's not even on any secondary NBA list at the moment. I mean, to me, it is. I just don't know what he's doing. I really don't.
Wow. Yeah, I told you that when we had that conversation. Y'all said I was crazy. I said he's not going to be worth the headache of inviting that circus. Y'all was like, he's going to L.A., JQ. He's going to L.A. You better get used to
it. We told you
maybe
it
he'll
That's
ball
the
out.
Thing. We told you that
happened.
So you might as well.
But
we
told
we
you.
Said that was going to happen.
Oh, we didn't disagree.
Right.
We were just telling you that's where it was going. But, no, I think we disagreed.
But,
but the thing about that, but see, it's easy to put just to bypass that. No, if you know that's going to happen, then you don't have to let that be your reality, Los Angeles. You invited that circus into your backyard. You knew it was going to be that. We all knew it, and we all knew he was going to have some struggles. We didn't think he was going to come in and just totally take over the league. I didn't think that. I don't think either you thought that. So you didn't think that his talent coming right into it first day was going to be worth the circus and the headache that LeVar Ball was going to bring, and that was my point the whole time. But once you draft him and you invite that circus into your house, then don't get mad, you know, when the elephant shit in the yard. I mean, that's what's going to happen when you invite the circus. I mean, come on.
I was supposed to heard that quote.
And there you have it.
I mean, like you said, I think what we were saying to you too, JQ, was like, you know, now, granted, do we know or realize how bad it was going to get because of everything that's happening? I'm sure no one predicted that. But I guess at the end of the day, you got to hope that, like Rob said, that he's, you know, he has the potential to be a pretty quality NBA starter. So, like I said, if he becomes good, you know, then maybe all this will pass over. But unfortunately, right now, we're in the middle of it, so we can't see the forest for the trees because we're there right now. So you're hoping that he'll take his lumps and he'll grow. Because he's had triple-doubles. He's got talent. You can tell he's got some talent, you know. And it sucks that his dad is, you know, all of us in the news, but, you know, it's just tough from that scenario too. So, again, we're not trying to, like, say we told you so, but we're just like, it is what it is, bro. So, you know, I don't know.
It don't have to be it is what it is. They let it be it is what it is, and I put that on them.
All right.
Yeah.
But I will say this.
Magic was all excited about the hype.
He sure was. He
invited
it.
Yeah, he was.
He invited it. So don't get mad now. You knew it was coming.
I will say this though, JQ, and I'm thinking that if you add one piece, and I'm thinking about a veteran to come in there and teach that squad because they really don't have like a true like veteran presence there. Besides maybe like Robin Lopez, but somebody else. But if you add Paul George or something like that, but you know just to kind of help that squad. I think Lonzo Ball becomes a different player. It's like whenever, you know, the Celtics had the Kevin Garnett and the Paul Pierce effect. You know, you just have a couple people there that are able to kind of like right the ship and kind of like show the youngsters how it's done. You know, that could be a huge influence on that team. So that's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I know Rob said the negative 15. You know, you just add that different element to that squad and say, this is how we're going to play. I'm going to teach you. And if you have another score to kind of take some more pressure off of Lonzo, that becomes a different team. So that's what I will say as far as that, too. So, you know, it's all good.
I'm hoping. I agree. I'm hoping. I'm with you.
All right. Well, that's enough of that. This is for you, Rob. Is Kevin Durant developing a mean streak?
You know, I think he's just added a little bit more edge to his game. And I actually think it's kind of good for him, to be honest with you. You know, I don't think you ever seen that from Kevin Durant in years past. It was always thought that he didn't, you know, obviously last year was the first year he won the championship, but there was always an element to his game where a lot of people thought he was a little soft or he couldn't just take his team over the top. And obviously, that was a loaded team he joined on last year, so, man. But mm-hmm. it just seems like he has a different kind of edge this season. And obviously, you know, he's been ejected a couple of times this year, but he's just playing with a different kind of edge. Maybe Draymond Green is rubbing off on him a little bit. But I think it's showing a little bit more toughness on his part. And I actually think it's kind of – I mean, I'm not a Warriors fan. You all know that. But I think for him, I think this is an added element to his game that actually I think is good for him going forward to help shed a little bit of that softness edge.
This is what they call in the wrestling business a heel turn. That's what he is on right now. You know, you have the baby faces of the good guys and the heels are the bad guys. This dude is in the full-on WWE heel turn. Where, you know, you enter the ring with Kevin Durant, and then you turn your back, and then he hits you with a chair. And it's like, oh, snap. Yeah, I mean, that's where Kevin Durant is right now. Like, and I like it. I'm with Rob. I dig it. You know, he's got a little bit more edge to his game. He's always had, you know, the ability to score, and, you know, and now he's playing a lot better defense now. And I agree. You're spot on. I think a lot of that is hanging out with Dre too many days throughout the week. But I think it's good for him to get a more well-rounded basketball game, and it's showing up. And the thing about it is now, with that Steph Curry ankle injury, with that edge that he's playing with, how ridiculous is he going to go where it's like, okay, you can't say that right now and just ride his coattails. At least for these 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be Kevin Durant's the number one option and the number two option, if you're being honest with yourself. And if they go, you know, lose only 1 or 2 games in that streak and he's still playing like that, I absolutely love it. You got to have a bad guy. And I think he's now embracing it way more than LeBron embraced it in Miami. He tried to go with the heel turn, but it wasn't really in his DNA. I feel like Kevin Durant had it there. He just kind of had to unlock it. But he's found it, and I'm with you, Rob. I dig it. I like seeing him get ejected, but he don't want to fight Boogie Cousins for real, though. That's not a fight he wants for real or for real life. Like, that's all good.
You want to stay away from that.
Yeah, you don't want that fight in real life, so I'm like, you know, easy.
You better do like Gronkowski trying to get him while he's down, but that was messed up.
Yeah, you don't want to fight Boogie. He's for real.
This is what I will say. This reminds me whenever I was playing basketball as a kid on the court, man. Now, JQ, once you see me, he didn't know. I'm a little light skinned, you know, so, you know, I used to have some challenges because all the folks thought I was soft. And then you have to kind of prove yourself that, you know, you think you're, you know, attractive. Mm-hmm. And all the,
so you always the last one to get picked when everybody picks
They were always fouling me hard. You know, I'm going to ignore that comment. Because I had handles, you know, whenever I was playing ball, Rob. So you can just suck that, bro. So I was I had handles. And then so I would always, you know, I would maybe try to, like, foul me hard. And it was a way for me to overcome that, and I did. So, you know, that's what it's all about. So, it's all good. And, you know, Rob,
Rob, you are a fool.
Know, oh, my goodness. I'm trying to, like, throw some shade, man, but that's okay because I know the truth.
Hey,
here.
Man. You know,
and,
laughter is good for the soul.
It's all good, man. So, it's all good, you know. But, it's all good. I'll show my yearbook.
Oh, man.
I was a baller, man. I remember, like, Kenny Anderson was my role model.
No, that's it.
And the dude.
Not the yearbook. Come on, man.
They pulled it on the yearbook. That's right. I had a yearbook thing. They said, CV at Georgia Tech. That was my role model. I was so happy, man. It was good times, man. So, anyway, having an edge, bottom line, is good. That's what we do. Here, talk about LeBron James. Still working on his masterpiece. All that good jazz. It's on you, JQ. Talk about that.
I'm sorry, you said we talk about LeBron? Okay, yeah, Rob, let's be able to that in the yearbook. I'm totally discombobulated right now. But, yeah, we keep talking about him, and the dude is just playing out of control. And you know they circled that Boston win streak to at least try to match it, if not surpass it. And he's petty like that. And, again, I dig it. You know, you keep getting these shots, you're like, okay, you post the Arthur meme. You know, you go out there, and he's still playing too many minutes, agreed. But like Rob said, you know, you get Isaiah Thomas back and maybe take some of that load off. But I dig what he has happening. He can't win. You know what I mean? It just, I mean, and that's not to throw, you know, a boo-hoo party for LeBron. But he can't win. If they do that, he's LeBron. He's supposed to do it. If they don't do it, what's wrong with LeBron? Why can't he make his team play better? So, you know, he's got to find his ways to keep himself motivated and keep an edge to him, too. And I like it. I mean, you know, do what you do, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Russ.
Well, I think the most interesting thing is we knew he still would have a very good season this season, but we thought this was about to be the point of his career where we start going downward just a little bit, maybe year by year. But it seems as though he may be having his best season in a long time and in quite some time. I mean, he's taking his game really to another level. And I think the element, we mentioned this on the show last week, about the shooting element of his game has gotten so much better. You're talking about somebody who's maybe hit a three-pointer maybe 25 to 33% most of his career, and now he's knocking it down to close to a 50% rate. And that's what Cleveland is going to need to be successful. And we talked about this. The Chicks dig the long ball. And if Cleveland is going to have any chance at being the championship contender or coming close to beating a team like Golden State, they got to be able to match him from the three-point line. And so he's got to be able to knock it down, adding guys like Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Love, having guys coming off the bench like Kyle Korver and things like that can come in and knock it down. In my opinion, he's number two in the MVP race right now in the league, only behind James Harden, in my opinion. I would say James Harden is the leading candidate for MVP, but I would have LeBron James right there, number two, and still in the race. For another MVP. And so I think, you know, I was under the impression that we'll start to see a slowly downward spiral in his career. Still be good, of course, but he's taking his game up to another level, and he's obviously, obviously he still feels like he's got a lot to prove and still possibly want to add to his championship trophy case and MVP trophy case. So I would say he's definitely trying to got a lot more left in the tank.
I'm the MVP.
Yeah, he's making people pay. He's making people pay for going under that screen. And that was always the thing of don't let him get to the rim, play off of him, and go under that screen and make him a shooter. And you're right, Rob. He's going to keep knocking it down at that level. And you can't go underneath that screen. How do you guard that guy? It's still early, so we don't know if we have any regression to the mean with that three-point shooting percentage to go back to the closest to what his true career pieces, but you're right. He got hurt, I believe, and it made him change his shooting stroke, and it's worked out because I believe Korver helped him remake it a little bit, you know, tweaked it, and he's a flat-out bomber from three-point land. If he's going to do that, good luck.
Yep. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, Rob, let's talk about your favorite team, the Warriors. Are they still the best team in the league without Steph Curry?
I'm going to say no. I think that I don't think they are the best team in the league without Steph Curry. I mean, when you look at the state of the NBA probably for the last 30 to 40 years, there's probably about six players that has really changed the game and made a huge impact on the game. And I actually am not saying Steph Curry is one of the best six players in the league in that time frame, but I think he's had an impact on changing the league because, I mean, he's made a three-point shot a huge difference in the game of basketball. When you look at the stat sheet in a lot of games, how big of a difference that three-point shot is for Golden State, which, you know, in some cases, if it wasn't for that three-point shot, you're talking about some of these games would be really, really close. I mean, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, right, as Jamar would say.
Yeah.
But he's made that kind of an impact on the basketball game. And when you look at a shooting stroke, I mean, it's not the perfect shooting stroke that you want young kids to develop. I mean, he's doing – the way he shoots it is really unreal.
Right.
And so, I mean, to me, like I said, there's six players that's been like guys that – and Steph Curry is one of them. LeBron James is another. Michael Jordan is another. Magic Johnson is another. I mean, you have to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the sky hook. You got to add him in that mix as well. Shaq with his pure dominance and brute strength. And maybe Will Chamberlain. You think about six guys that have really changed the landscape of basketball here in the last 30 to 40 years. And I throw Steph Curry in there just for the way he's elevated the league from the standpoint of the three-point shot. So I don't think they are the best team in the league without him, even with Kevin Durant.
Wow.
Okay, man. That's blasphemous not to put Larry Bird in there, though. That's blasphemous not to put Larry Bird in there. And I hate Boston, but come on, buddy. You got to put Larry Bird in there. If you mention Magic, you got to do Larry in there, too. Blasphemous.
Oh, yeah.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, you put him in there.
No, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. But I think this is a two-pronged kind of question. If it's long-term, if they look back and after 2-3 weeks – it's not getting better, and you got to shut him down to almost the finals or something like that, then I would agree with you, Rob, that the answer is no. When the short term for 2 or 3 weeks where you can just unleash Kevin Durant, because you got to think they just had so much talent that they were far, to me, they were far and away the best team. So taking Steph Curry, not to minimize Steph Curry because he's ridiculous, but when you're still rolling out, okay, my number one is Kevin Durant, and then I got a 2 and 3, 2A, 2B with Clay and Dre, I mean, you know, and the balance they have on that squad, they still pretty much up there, but they couldn't do that for – I wouldn't put them as the best team for 50 games having to do that. But they have to do that
right.
for 12 games or 10 games or at most 15. Say it goes into 3 weeks, then I still put them as the best team. But you know what I'm saying? Like
right.
short term, yes, because they can cover that short term where your minute spike might go up. But then when he comes back and you start crushing people again, then you're able to take
yep.
halves off. You know, so to speak, or maybe even a game between there and out. So, you know, long term, no. Short term, still yes.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
clearly.
That's basically what I was referring to. If they didn't have a long term, obviously, right now,
oh, okay.
it's 2 week yeah. injury. But yeah, if right. yeah, if they didn't have him on that team long term, no, I don't think they're the best team in the league.
Mm-mm.
Gotcha. Yep, good call. I was definitely going to agree with what JQ said about that. And then even as you see the team progresses, I mean, like you said, JQ, you know, to see Kevin Durant, to see kind of reflected what you said, Rob, as far as him getting that mean streak, and that can make that squad even more deadlier because now he's going to build that confidence
mm-hmm.
built up, and then when Steph Curry comes back, they're going to keep the ball rolling, man. So they're definitely the team to beat, as we discussed, as always. But that's with Steph Curry in the long term, obviously, too. All right, Rob, we've got about 17 minutes here left in the show. Let's do our fantasy shout-outs.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. Let's start with fantasy basketball, since we're talking about basketball. And shout-out to my co-host Andre. Had 2 good weeks in a row in fantasy basketball. And a shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
8-0 mm-hmm. over the champions here. So shout-out to Andre having the biggest win of the week in fantasy basketball. St. Pelicans, Rondo from New Orleans, still holding out first place. He's got a 41-14-1 record.
He got it back from me this week. Ain't no steal, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Back on my
right.
name like Birdman.
But he's been going back and forth between him and first place for the year. Chill out, JQ. There's still a lot of seasons to go.
JQ is going there.
All right. All right, and fantasy football shout-outs. League number one, shout-out again to –
Wait a minute. I was 7-1 last week too, right? So I had 2 good weeks, so, right? I was 8-0 and 7-1, right?
Didn't I just
is
say
that? Right?
Yeah. He said that,
did
man.
You say
that?
I don't know if he said the record if I was 7-1 and 8-0. I'm just making sure that was on the
no,
record.
No, he didn't.
Carry
oh,
on.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
Recognize
goodness
that.
Gracious.
Oh, yeah, 2-2. All right.
Go ahead.
Not on fantasy football. Good job, though, Andre.
Yeah.
That is 15-1 in the last two weeks for you.
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Go ahead.
League number one in fantasy football. How you going to pay for that fine, Andre?
Straight cash, homie. Yes, sir.
Andre's team had the biggest win in league number one, straight cash, homie, over Bristol Bombers, 153.12, 77.60. Yours truly, my team, still in first place, black and gold, 11-2. We'll have first round bye in the playoffs this weekend. Andre again, league number two, biggest
Damn.
Win again, playoffs, 143.78 to 91.22 over the Pellies. And Andre's team is in first place in that league, 10-3, and we'll have a first-round playoff bye this coming weekend. League number three, Chester from New Orleans turned up, had the biggest win of the week over NOLA for Life's team, 115.20 to 58.28. Jake Hughes team, Ohio players, 9-4 in first place. And we'll have a first round bye in the playoffs this weekend. League number four, my team, the Purple Knights. This is where Andres wasn't so great. I beat Andres' team with the biggest win of the week, 186.38 to 128.40.
Damn, 186.
Purple Knights.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Yeah, 186.38 to 128.40. My team.
Yeah, rough.
And my team, the Purple Knights, 9-4, holding down first place. But the playoffs will start the following week in this league, so we'll still be playing regular season games this coming weekend in that league. And those are your fantasy shout outs for the week.
That bastard Rob knocked me out of the playoffs. I said, man, this dude. I was sitting there so mad, like, you gotta be kidding.
That was a big game. I knew whoever lost that game probably wasn't gonna make it. So I was like, that was a big one.
But that was my fault. I left a lot of points on the bench. I was just a sad man. Come on, man, this is retarded. AJ Green is going nuts, and I'm happy, but then I'm not happy. Oh, you gotta love fantasy.
I know that I put
you gotta love fantasy
place.
Football.
I was thinking about
this. Bro. Bro, you gotta tell me. So
I was like, man, that's gotta
I'm
be
sick.
I'm rooting for AJ Green, and he's rooting for him.
And then I'm like, damn it, man.
Yeah,
somebody else in the meeting will score.
Please, right? Somebody.
That was hilarious. But you know what sucked about that, Rob? I gotta say for us, man, it sucked because I had freaking. Tyreek Hill on the bench. He had 39 points. Then I had freaking A.J. Smith had 51. So that would have changed the momentum of that crazily.
I know.
Yeah. Huge.
Even Alex Collins, I didn't play him in a lot of leagues either. And he wound up scoring two touchdowns. I was like, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Gotta love it. Too many things.
That killed me. That killed me. Anyway, all good. Congrats. That was the one time. Because, the Chiefs haven't been scoring that much, So I'm like, man, how are they going to – and, of course, the freaking Jets. I was thinking about that, but then I – damn. That would hurt. Okay, it's all good. We're gonna move on to that. I'm just happy that I'm coming for the ship. Ship. All right, shoot it. We have some NFL predictions here. And your boy, I kind of figured out why Jerry Jones is trying to get rid of Roger Goodell, but I think he had an extension that just got signed because of what Roger Goodell did to Zeke Elliott. But he just got his freaking extension. So that's a whole other conversation right now, too. I know that's – we know how Robert feels about Roger Goodell here. But
devil.
Let's get off here. it got extended, man. That's kind of crazy,
devil.
Man. How long does he? I wonder, is there a tenure on this? I'm trying to figure out if they have a tenure on this. Eventually, he can't stay commissioner forever. He eventually has to have he can't be there forever,
right?
I mean,
yes, he can.
But
if they want him to,
I think
I'm pretty sure they can.
I want to say it's a 5-year deal at $200 million, which means it's somewhere around $40 million a year he's going to be getting as a commission.
Yeah, it's $5 million.
And
you're right.
Yeah, which
that's terrible.
Any one of the three of us could be commissioner of the National Football League, and it's going to be successful. I truly believe that. And
I agree.
I just don't understand some of the decision making with Roger Goodell that's going through, and the thought process behind some of the decisions he's made. And to me, it's just mind-blowing. I know we're going to get into a couple of these player suspensions and how some of these suspensions have been governed over the years have just been completely ridiculous. And obviously, you all know how I feel. I mean, I personally am not that big of a fan.
You don't say.
I think that, and I know I'm not the only NFL fan that feels that way about the way Roger Goodell has governed the league. Obviously, like I said, I know the TV ratings are down the last couple of years, but I don't think that's particularly, Roger Goodell's fault. Ultimately. But I just think the way he's governed the league and the way it's he's a judge and a jury. It just hasn't been fair, and it just hasn't been right. And some kind of way, the players have to get some of their rights back. And I think eventually the owners have got to put some kind of a hold on the way he governs the league.
Yeah, we might as well talk about this, JQ. Go ahead, your thoughts on that, man.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is I blame the players for that. And that's why I think he'll be there as long as the owners want him there, because he takes all the criticism they don't have to. And that's where they're like, yeah, you can talk about him, but behind closed doors, outside of, you know, maybe Jerry Jones and a couple other ones, he's doing their bidding. And they're like, oh, yeah, go for it, Roger. You know, yeah, all right, woohoo. And the players, they have to have some culpability in that. You signed that CBA that let him be the judge, jury, and executioner, like Rob just said. You gave him that right. And then you can't turn around within a year of doing that saying, oh, man, this ain't right. Like, yeah, it ain't, but you gave that away willingly. So at the same time, yeah, that's on you. I mean, I don't like Roger Goodell, don't get me wrong, but if I'm talking about from an NFL perspective, from the owners who, you know, own and run that league, they're fine with it. That's what I mean. If they were fine with it, would you give it somebody $40 million a year that you weren't fine with? I wouldn't. I would give $5. Yeah, Steph, that's what I'm saying. You got like three of them that don't like him, but, you know, that ain't enough for 32 teams. So he's obviously doing something right in their eyes. I would agree with you. You know, the way he's handled suspension is just the unevenness of it. It's crazy. But at the same time, when you give somebody, basically make him a dictator and let him do everything in those certain situations, and you willingly signed off on it, I can't have so much sympathy for you.
He's Hitler.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just trying to, there's nothing really I can say after that. All right, let's kind of switch the gears
on
the that. Oh man, good call about that, JQ too. Yeah, I agree with you, Rob. Three of us could easily be a better commissioner as well too, man. So if you hear us in the field, you hire one of us. So hopefully we'll still be, you know, we'll still be boys and we'll keep it going too. All right, I was trying to like definitely kind of tie that into the predictions, but we definitely talked about the contract, but it's good for the league. So let's talk about the NFL predictions in the next, like, 7.5 minutes here. So let's first off the deck, the Cowboys at the interim coach-led Giants. And, you know, Eli's back. Guess who's back? Back again. After a crazy debacle week, losing Ben McAdoo, which everyone kind of saw that coming. And kind of sucks for Eli for the streak, and we'll talk about it a little later on. What do you think about this game, JQ, and what's going to happen with that, sir?
Oh, no, the Giants are a dumpster fire. I mean, listen, the Cowboys, I know they're missing Zeke, but they play much better running the ball against Washington the other night. I think the offensive line is finally getting back to what it should be. And, you know, the Giants losing Janoris Jenkins is huge out there. I just think, you know, Eli Apple, I'm sorry, Ohio State, he's just not doing it for them. And you're talking about those two being your starting quarterbacks. So I feel like Dak is going to have a good game. They do just enough in the run game. I feel like the Cowboys win. I mean, I just can't pick the Giants at this point. I think their season is over.
Uh-oh. Rob, your thoughts, bro.
Yeah, I totally agree on this particular matchup. Do I believe the Giants may come out with a little bit more fight just because of what's going on with the organization and Eli Manning coming back as a starting quarterback? I do think they are going to come out with a little bit more fight, but Dallas is going to win this game in New York. I think they maybe have found the right formula now, getting Smith back at left tackle. And obviously, Alfred Morris is not Zeke Elliott, but he proved the other night that the offensive line blocks for him. He can be good enough for him. I think they go on the road and get this win by at least 10 points.
Giants gonna be ready, man. They're going to be waiting for the Cowboys. The Giants play well against them. So, I don't know. I'm
think
they're going to
show some
game,
spunk
man.
In the game. They're going to fight, but I think in the end they'll lose.
All right. We'll see. All right. I'm kind of curious about this, man. I think Eli got some special waiting for this comeback tour. So, we'll see. All right, let's talk about the next game that's going to pick.
You're going to wake up, Al.
Co-host against co-host here. So one of us is going to be mad, one of us is going to be happy next week or well, by Thursday night, obviously. But Saints at the Falcons, I will give you the honors on this one. Rob Ford, surprise, surprise, but we're going to go with this one. Go ahead, Rob.
I tell you what, obviously you all know where my heart is on this one. I'll be rooting like heck for the Saints to win this game on the road, but I'm a little torn. Obviously, it's a short week on the road. You all know how I feel about that on Thursday night games. It's really tough for road teams to win on those Thursday night games on a short week. And the Saints still have quite a bit of injuries. We still don't know if Lattimore is going to return. And there's a difference. Obviously, Carolina doesn't have the wide receiver weapons that the Falcons have. And sometimes it's about matchups. And so Lattimore is still questionable tomorrow night. And the Saints do have a little bit more depth at cornerback with Ken Crowley and P.J. Williams and what we've had in years past. But I think Lattimore will be really crucial to have him in this game, and also Marcus Williams. And then, of course, Andres Pete has been ruled out, but it looked like they'll get Teron Smith back. I mean, Teron Armstead back. So it's a little hard. I will say that if I'd make a prediction right now based on not knowing what the injury situation is totally going to be for the Saints tomorrow night, I would say the Falcons win this game by a field goal in Atlanta, as much as I hate to say that. And I hope that I'm wrong.
Mark Ingram, is he still gonna play, Rob, or what's his?
But he's questionable with a toe injury. He hasn't practiced, but obviously, you know, it's a short week, so we don't know if he has. The only one that's been ruled out for the Saints is Andres Pete, starting left guard.
Gotcha.
Yep. So I would say 23-20 Falcons at this moment.
I think it's gonna be a little bit more high scoring than that. But I agree, and even if Lattimore is back, and I know from you know, personal experience dealing with him at Ohio State, he's had those lower leg injuries. And even when you come back, how healthy is that ankle? And you're not rolling into some soft matchup; you're rolling into Julio Jones. So I'm looking at that, and it may take a week or two for him to get fully healthy, and the other cornerback as well, because they were flat out dominant during that 8-game winning streak. They were just smacking people, and it was ridiculous on the defensive side of the ball. But you're right, on a short week. I think they can overcome Ingram because Kamara has just been out of this world as an all-purpose back for the Saints. But if you don't have anybody to slow down Julio and you got to double him and then you can get some new, who's not, you know, he's not going to wow you so much, but he can make plays. He's tough. He's physical. I think the Falcons win 31-28.
Yeah. I'll say if the Falcons play like they played us Sunday, the Saints win, because you let freaking Case Keenum come
sucked.
In. That was pretty bad. And again, we have no identity. Yeah, JQ, we're talking about it. We have no identity on offense. So I don't know which team is going to show up, Rob. So if you get that team, you guys win. If you get the somewhat competent team,
both of these teams going to be up
look.
To play against each other. You better believe that.
I'm with you on that. But I'm saying, like, you know, what offensive game plan are we going to have? Are we going to have the offensive game plan where we're going to actually, like, stretch the field and do some things? Or are we going to have the offensive game plan where we had it on Sunday, which it just – this team is inconsistent, and I was thinking as I was driving home, I was thinking about that game. I was like, if this team, whenever Rob was talking about the teams that made it to the playoffs last year and this year, and I literally in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know if we're going to make the playoffs, because it's kind of sad to say that if we don't play well and get these next couple of weeks, it can come down to like somebody else controlling that. You know, whether the Panthers are playing well, I know. You know, same good job. It's just crazy, you know. So, again, I'm digressing here. I agree with you as far as it depends on that, too. Rob, we got about a minute 23. Can we go ahead and get the OT portion, and we'll do the rest of the predictions, if you will, and we'll keep it going here. So, go ahead, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone for tuning in, but we still got a lot more sports to talk, so you don't want to miss our OT portion. So, click on the same link on tomorrow. We still got more football to talk about, NFL and college. I know we teased you a little bit, but we want you to tune in. We're telling you, we want you to tune into our OT portion, to click on this and get this great information that we're going to share with you all. And, of course, next Wednesday night, we're going to be back on the air live again, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our friends in Hawaii, aloha, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. You don't want to miss it on next week, as we'll get you through another week of action in the sports world. Don't want to miss it next week. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Download the link. Go Chargers. More football coming your way.
You know, getting back to this this NFC South matchup, I tell you what, there's no room for error in the NFC.
No.
And obviously, if a Saints fan like myself, I'm obviously hoping they find a way to win this game because you really don't have room for error in the NFC. And
That's true.
They went on an 8-game winning streak, and they lost one game, and it was tied with Carolina in first place. You thought you would have some kind of space yourself after winning 8 straight games, but they still found themselves tied with Carolina in first place in the division. So it's I'm obviously hoping they find a way to win this game. As I mentioned, I don't think it's going to be easy going on the road on a short week. And then, you know, to also have to overcome some injuries. But there's definitely no room for error. If you're the Saints.
This is actually sometimes you give the NFL credit as far as the way they did the scheduling. They actually placed all the division games near the end of the season, which is crazy because we normally see guys early and then we see guys, you know, kind of towards the middle. So it's been crazy that it's kind of like
weird
that
this is the first matchup between the Saints and Falcons in week week 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, normally we see guys early in the week and then we get, you know, kind of come back towards the end. Mm-hmm. It's been
we've already
very
played Carolina
schedule.
Twice and we haven't played the Falcons yet.
I can't wait to see the uniforms too because the Falcons are these crazy red and I'm not sure what the fans are going to be wearing, but that's going to be another sight for sore eyes too, man. So we'll see how that plays out as well, guys.
Yeah, I think the Saints are wearing all white, which they normally never wear, but I think they're wearing all white tomorrow.
It's going to be interesting. For the visual, right, for the eyes, we're going to be like, no, we're rubbing our eyes. All right, guys.
Me too.
It's sometimes it can be good luck. Let's talk about the aforementioned Vikings, and I said Case Keenum, and I was kind of talking a little junk, but again, this guy's been playing well, and he's going to go against our Panthers. If you are if you're one of us, you're kind of hoping that the Vikings knock out the Panthers just so we get better positioning. But the Vikings are playing very well. So what you calling this one, Rob?
I think the Vikings are going to roll and get another one. I really do. I mean, their defense travels. And I keep saying this every week. I mean, Case Keenum thinks he's back at the University of Houston again at the way he's playing, the way he's throwing the football. He's got a lot more confidence. And what came to mind, a guy who really just played well late in his career, Rich Gannon. And you're kind of seeing that with Case Keenum,
nice.
A guy who's coming on late in his career and showing some success. And obviously, you know, he can probably be a starting quarterback in this league for if he keeps playing like this for at least the next 5 years or so. And, you know, toward the end of his career, the green light just it just came on in between his ears and it's coming together for him. And he's having some success. And his Viking teams, I mean, they have a really good set of wide receivers and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Offensive line is a lot better. And that's really what happened to him last year. If you all recall, they started off 5-0, but the offensive line kind of fell apart for him. And they finally wound up finishing the season 8-8. But the defense was good last year. The defense be better this year. And defense travels. And we have a very good chance of seeing the first team play in the Super Bowl in their home stadium this year with this Vikings team, which is scary.
The Lord ain't going to let that happen.
Brown, they're ready for they're ready for Case Keenum. Go ahead, JQ. But, yeah, Jets, Browns, Jaguars, Broncos. Good.
Yeah, no, he ain't going nowhere. And you talk about it, you said it perfectly. Defense travels. That defense is fantastic. And you talk about, well, why is Case Keenum playing better? Well, Case Keenum, I think, had the talent, but he went in places where he had the kind of supporting cast he has now. Yeah, think about it. Minnesota's not even getting anything from their number one pick in Treadwell from a year or two ago. You talked about Thielen. You talked about Diggs. Don't forget about Kyle Rudolph. You're talking about having a thumper in Murray, and then you can have a scat back in McKinnon. Like, and you got a good offensive line, and just again with that defense, he's been put in a good situation, and he's not messing it up, and he's thriving in it as well. And I think that's where the Panthers want to be, but they don't have as good a defense. They don't have as good a set of skill players right now, especially losing Samuel and you trade Kelvin Benjamin. That's why I say I'm going to go with the Vikings on this one. I mean, I just, you know, and Cam is so inconsistent. He's still really inaccurate with the ball, and you don't want to do that against that Minnesota defense. They'll turn into turnovers and get a short field for the aforementioned Keenum. I like Minnesota and Carolina. I think that Minnesota team is for real.
the Vikings are trending up. And, again, so sad that Mike Zimmer is coaching the Vikings instead of the Bengals. All right, let's talk about this here.
Yeah, man, goddammit. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
You got to throw that shot in there.
I was just being real because, again, we talk about
that's
that.
That's true.
Mike Zimmer was really good coaching the Bengals versus your boy. Mm-hmm. All right. This is a really, really good game.
Thank you for that.
The Eagles, I'm sorry, I was kind of like pick. I was just saying that. That's just it's tough. Really good game again, Eagles at the Rams. And another great game was Eagles at Seahawks. So the Eagles have been running into some good challenges. Still, that was a tight game, just a really good comeback by Russell Wilson. But this is an exciting game, guys. You pick the number one, number two quarterbacks, respectively, that are starting. This is a great storyline, guys. And it's good to see both quarterbacks playing well. And I'm sure we had other thoughts, like I said earlier, as far as what you thought Griffin and Andrew Luck. These guys are not even playing right now, but here's the future of the league right now. And what's going to happen? What do you think about this game, JQ? How do you like this, man?
Man, I try to look at this, and I try to balance, you know, just statistically-wise, home versus road. But given the way these home teams are playing right now, it's just, you know, I mean, I guess I did take the Falcons, but I think the Eagles – with Zach Ertz, I think he's not going to play with that concussion. You could tell when he hit his head in that game that he was really had a pretty decent head trauma there. And that's Carson Wentz's security blanket. And he likes Trey Burton as well, who is Zach's replacement. But going on the West Coast again, I mean, the Eagles play Seattle tough. And I'm not saying Los Angeles is like playing in the 12th man playing in Seattle. But I just think the Rams find a way. I know it's going to be tough sledding for Todd Gurley, but he catches the ball extremely well out of the backfield. I think they'll have a plan there. And like I said, if you don't have Zach Ertz, you can double down more on Jeffrey and Aguilar, and that makes it a little tougher on Carson Wentz. I'm going to go with the Rams in like a 3-point game, but I can see the Eagles winning. This is a really pick'em game, but it's at home, so I'm going to go with L.A.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, this is another one that I mentioned. I struggle with the Saints Falcons. This is another game I've struggled with as well. And for a couple of reasons. Obviously, we all, you know, our prayers go out to those areas of north of Los Angeles and Ventura County with the fires that they're enduring out there. Mm-hmm. I think it's about 27,000 to 30,000 families that is displaced in that area due to those fires. But it also affected the Rams today, where the Rams could not practice because of the quality of the air. In that area of where their practice still is. And so the Rams did not practice at all today.
I didn't know that.
And so so you wonder, you know, I don't know how much that's going to throw off their normal routine for the week. And so now they have plans tomorrow that the air quality is bad, that they're just going to move down to USC and practice at USC on tomorrow and Friday. But you just wonder, prior to hearing that, I was going with the Rams all the way. But now I'm a little torn. I don't know how much that's going to throw off their routine for the week. And so I think it's, you know, I'm a little bit more torn about it. But I think prior to the fires, I was definitely going to go with the Rams at home. And Philadelphia having to play cross country 2 weeks in a row at Seattle and at the Rams. But I'm going to stick with the Rams, but I think it'll be a lot closer. And I'm going to go with another 3-point win here. I'm going to say 26-23. Rams find a way to win this game at home. And I think these two teams are evenly matched. But it's something to see the Eagles, lose two games in a row here. So, you know, we'll see what they're made of. But I think this is just a tough stretch in their schedule.
Stay away from Jello Ball, by the way, while you're in UCLA. All right, let's keep it going here.
All right.
Let's talk about Seahawks and Jaguars. Oh, Jaguars playing surprisingly well defensively. I'm not going to talk too much. You know, they're doing just enough offensively, and Blake Bortles still, I don't think if he's the exact answer, but what do you think about this game versus a tough game for Seattle going all the way across the seas? Rob, the Jaguars. What do you think about this one?
It's hard to pick against Seattle this time of the year. I know they have some injuries in the secondary, but I knew it was just a matter of time that, you know, Pete Carroll will figure out a way to fix those holes. and I think he's starting to. And I think they're going to be a tough out, you know, the rest of the year, the Seattle Seahawks. But I just like the way Jacksonville is playing. Doug Marrone has got to add a little more toughness to the team on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage. And defensively, quiet as it kept, Jacksonville is one of the better defensive teams in the league. Jalen Ramsey has been phenomenal. All of those first-round picks are finally starting to come together for this team. I think they find a way to beat Seattle at home, and I know it sounds cliche, but I'm going to go with another three-point win here. I'm going to go 20-17 Jacksonville.
Y'all stop it. Who's the Jaguars starting quarterback again? It's Blake Bortles, right? Against
Blake Bortles.
Stop it. Against the Seattle defense, I don't care where they're playing. They can play in Mexico City. I'm going to take Seattle. If it's going to be Russell Wilson versus Blake Bortles, I think Russell Wilson, even against a very good Jacksonville defense, and that's not to take anything away from Jacksonville defense, I think Blake Bortles makes a mistake or two to give that Seattle offense a short field, and Seattle finds a way to win by 7 on the road.
Oh, okay. Well, let's mess this up with the Raiders and Steelers, JQ.
I am going to recuse myself from this pick because I am on the hating competition committee for both of these teams, so I am not allowed to vote. So I will let Rob go ahead and have all of this.
You're clearly taking
We say this every week, and the Steelers just always find a way to play up or down to the competition. I'm expecting another AFC North dogfight, as Ben Roethlisberger said at the end of that game that night, just AFC North football. So it's going to be another smash-mouth game, but somehow, some way, the Steelers will pull it out in the end like they always do.
Yeah, they will.
I'm going to go with a six-point win this time instead of a three-point win. I'm going to go 26-20, Pittsburgh.
JQ, you're hilarious, bro. All right, let's keep this going here. We're not going to stay too much longer. I don't want to talk about the college football playoffs and everything like that. Let me wrap this up. Really quickly, I want to talk about John Mara. Is he at fault for the Giants' debacle of the season? And what's your thoughts on this, JQ? Is he at fault?
Real quickly, he kept Reese way too long. He pushed out Coughlin. He brought in a loser in McAdoo. Yeah, that's all you, player. Own it.
There it is. Rob, JQ.
Well, I mean, definitely the owner's got to take some responsibility. And but obviously, I think also a good owner lets the football people do their jobs. And I think for some degree, he tried to let Jerry Reese run the organization. He's probably in that position a little bit too long. But, yeah, he definitely deserves some of the responsibility for the debacle. And I think with the Eli Manning situation, that was a time for him to step in. It was a debacle even before the Eli Manning benching, but I think that was a moment he could have also stepped in to fix that situation as well.
We might as well talk about that too, because you know the benching. I think that was just a cluster and just a terrible way to go out. Now, granted, we get it—the fact that you know the season is done, but you know let Eli go out, you know whatever. So that was terrible,
right?
Like you said. Ben McAdoo is going to say it was a pleasure to coach the Giants. Oh, you suck. You might as well, man, get the out of here, bro. You know what I'm saying? That was just despicable too, man. So John Mara, you are all at fault. You deserve what you're getting. I hope the Giants keep sucking, you know, because that was just a terrible way for you to go out for your squad, man. So, you know,
not for Geno Smith. Not for Geno Smith. If you're going to put Davis in, I can understand it to a point. You want to see what you have.
Geno
Smith is a known bust quantity. He's a bust. He's an idiot. When you get knocked out of the locker room, when you get knocked out of the locker room by your linebacker. Somebody crumbling papers? You can't bitch you for Geno Smith. That's just outlandish. Not for Geno Smith. You stop it. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. anything else?
See, Heath Evans is picking the Saints tomorrow night. I hope Heath is right.
Oh my God. Of course he's
taking the Saints.
Suck it too, man. That's
see who
right
really.
There.
Yeah.
Let's see who really.
Yeah, come on.
That's a surprise.
He might be a little bit more neutral.
I hate that.
Yeah, Heath Evans is ridiculous. Yeah, he's an idiot.
He's all freaking – he hates the Falcons, man. That dude can suck it, man.
Willie
McGinnis
picks the Saints, too. But hopefully these guys are right.
Of course he's going to pick the Saints, bro. Come on. Okay, I got to talk to this. All right, so we talked about that. Anything else we talked about, Rob, on the – anything else about the Giants and the benching of Eli? And do you have anything else to say about that and then their John Mara?
No, I think we all agree that was the wrong thing to do.
Right.
Let's give a quick update on Ryan Shazier, if you will, Rob.
Well, obviously, Shazier is back in Pittsburgh tonight. Obviously, our prayers go out to him. Still no movement in his lower extremities. He has some movement in his upper body with his hands and things of that nature. But still no movement in his legs and things of that nature. So real, real scary. And obviously, we all know football is a collision sport. It's a very violent game. The speed these guys are playing with today, so really, really scary. And I know he's with the Steelers, but he's also Ohio State guy. So I don't know how you feel about that, JQ. But obviously,
I know,
but it's obviously our prayers go out to him in hopes that there will be a recovery from this.
Oh yeah, no, I was hurt. I was hurt to watch that happen. And again, him and Cam Hayward on that defense for Pittsburgh. If they play for almost any other team, I would love them to death. But I can't love them because they play for Pittsburgh. But I in no days, even after what he did to Gio in that playoff game, I in no days want that to happen. Like, I love him. He'll always be a Buckeye to me. And I hope that, you know, he gets a speedy recovery. That was really hard to watch. Really hard to watch.
Cool. Any reactions that you say, JQ, for Juju Smith and George Iuka?
Well, if you were watching the game and I text you, they showed the whole timeline of all the dirty Pittsburgh hits that have led to rule changes in the NFL. You know, so when people say, well, you just are being a homer, no, these are, you know, Carson Palmer, you can't go low on a quarterback's leg anymore. You can't blindside hit anymore because Hines broke Keith Rivers' jaw. You know, you can't go into the helmet on a running back anymore because Ryan Shazier also broke Gio Bernard's jaw and knocked him out. These are all Pittsburgh dirty hits on Bengals that have made NFL rule changes. So when that happens to Juju Smith-Schuster, I was like, yeah, I was surprised he didn't get kicked out once he stood over Burfict. And I know people are going to say it's payback for Burfict and what he did. And I can get that to a point. But, you know, you can't stand over that guy. So I knew he was gone. I was surprised, honestly, even as a Bengal fan, that Iuka got his suspension reduced to a fine. They ruled that Antonio Brown ducked down, and that's why he hit him in the head. I think he was trying to take Antonio Brown's head off, personally. Like, I'll take this flag if you don't catch this touchdown. So I was personally shocked as a Bengal fan that happened. If they had upheld the suspension, I couldn't have said anything.
Yeah. Rob.
Well, my thoughts on both of those suspensions was that it's still kind of hard because they both were making a football play, and I didn't think they both were the same category as the Rob Gronkowski.
No,
I think that was the biggest gripe for me. Like, if they were going to get one game, Rob Gronkowski should have got at least two or three.
And to me,
that's where that was my biggest problem. If you are going to suspend these guys one game, they shouldn't be in the same category as Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski was definitely intentional, and I love the comment that Mike Mitchell made. I mean, he basically jumped off the top rope like Dusty Rhodes, and with that hit on Tre'Davious White. And that was intentional. He jumped off the top rope with his elbows out to fall on him. And, I mean, for them to all be categorized as a one game, if they are going to be punished historically in the NFL, what Iuka and Juju Smith did, or Smith-Schuster, historically what they have
Juju
done
Smith.
Would have been a fine. And but if they were going to get one game for this, Gronkowski should have got two or three, and that I think that was my problem with the whole situation. I didn't think that was fair.
His elbow
right
into his body, though.
He hit him with that Jimmy Superfly Snooker off the top rope, like he was flying.
He's good. But I was gonna say his body actually ran into his elbow, man. It just happened to be that, you know, it wasn't like, you know, that. Go ahead, Sixie.
If you play for the Patriots, you can get away. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with Rob. That piece of it, I agree with. If you're gonna give them one, he has to get three. But when you play for the Patriots and you turn the other way.
Gotcha. All right, we got two more topics here. Let's talk about this is Rob's gonna love this topic. Are the Saints the most complete team in the NFC? And you know, we'll set up plays out with injuries. I would say that if they had their full complete squad with Lattimore back, but the injuries have kind of tripped them. I think they're probably second. You know, I'm still debating that with the Eagles. But your thoughts on this, Rob? You have your little moment here.
Well, no, I'm going to say not so fast. You know, the Saints been the most complete team in the NFC. And I mean, obviously, the running game is 20 times better, and this is the best I've seen from the Saints running game. Even the year the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009, they were sixth in the NFL. And I think 2011, they were somewhere in the top five or six as well. But to me, this is still better than either one of those teams when it comes to running the football, and they're better defensively. But it's still hard for me to put them over the Vikings and the Eagles as being the most complete team in the league. This stage, I think from a defensive standpoint, I think the Vikings and the Eagles are both better on that side of the football. Obviously, the Saints have gotten better on defense, but they're not as good as the Eagles and Vikings are on the defensive side of the ball. Do I think their running game is better? Yes. But I think overall, complete team, I would still have to put those teams ahead of the Saints at the moment. Obviously, I would like the Saints to be the top, but I can't put them there.
Look at him. Look at him being objective. I agree. I agree. I think they're right under, you know, they're on almost like if you got a line that had the Eagles and the Vikings on that line, I would put the Saints just a touch right under that line. Defense much better. But will they get Lattimore back? Will he be back to Lattimore that was in that eight-game winning streak? That run game has been flat out phenomenal with Ingram and Kamara. So, yeah, I agree. They're on the cusp. But I can't say they're the most complete team right now.
All right, good call. We're going to skip forward here because I want to talk about college football playoffs, but I do want to talk about best receiver in the game, Antonio Brown or Julio Jones. What say you on this, JQ?
Oh, man, I mean, that's just so tough. They're just two different kinds of receivers, and it's just I think that they just don't get used. You know, I don't think Julio gets used properly enough here in Atlanta, to be quite honest. You know, when he has those kind of games like he had against Tampa, and then he disappears, mm-hmm. you have to find ways to move him around, put him in a slot, do different things to get him the ball that you see Pittsburgh mm-hmm. do with Antonio Brown. They scheme Antonio Brown open where it's always Julio just throw a jump ball to him and let him go make a big play. You know, he can do more than that. So, I mean, it's hard. I mean, I'm going to go with Julio because he's just such a freak of nature. And that's not a shot to Antonio Brown, not because he's a stealer. Antonio Brown is phenomenal. And there's just no question. He's a phenomenal – yeah, he's a phenomenal wide receiver. There's no shade at all by picking Julio there. You can argue either one. But Julio is just such a freak of nature. I think if Julio played for Pittsburgh and had Big Ben and they found ways to scheme him open the same way they do for Antonio Brown, then I don't even think we would even have a question right now. I think his numbers would just be stupid.
Julio played for the Packers, the Patriots, the freaking Saints.
Right.
It'd be a different conversation easily. Go ahead, Rob.
Agreed.
The freaking Saints. <That's funny. laughs> Oh, man. I definitely think Julio Jones is the most talented, no doubt about it. For all the things you all just said, when you look at the measurables, the size, the speed ratio, he's definitely the most talented, and you all are probably right. You probably watch him a lot more than I do as far as the fact that he's probably not being used correctly. If you would have asked me this question 3 weeks ago, I would have said Julio Jones, definitely. But the way Antonio Brown has played the last 3 weeks and some of the catches he's made has been flat out phenomenal. And he's just come up big game after game after game after game. And so I would have to say overall as a receiver, based on the production and numbers, I would have to say Antonio Brown, but definitely I totally agree that Julio Jones is the most talented and the most scariest if he gets it going.
Well, that's mm-hmm. the scary part, too, because I agree with both of you guys, the fact that, you know, Julio has got the tools, and that's the thing I think it's wasted, honestly, and I don't know if it's the scheme or quarterback. I mean, again, we'll talk about that later. But as you said, Rob, consistency is what Antonio Brown has. He's been consistent, and he just does it week after week. You don't see him taking out plays, and you know he's there pretty consistently, man. So it's kind of tough to kind of go against those numbers and whatnot too. But I still think it's just frustrating. You know, if, like I said, if you put Julio on the Packers or the Patriots, man, record broken easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I digress.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you guys ready to talk some college football here, guys? You ready for this?
Just make it do what it do.
Yeah. Sure. All right.
So your thoughts, and I know, JQ, this is not a knock on you, man. I know it's been tough. The thoughts on the college football playoffs. So we will let you heal, bro, and just kind of give your thoughts about that. And you can also tie into Ohio State and Alabama. So go ahead on this and your thoughts, bro.
Okay, and I'll tie the other one into it as well. I don't like Baker Mayfield for the stunt he pulled in Columbus. Don't get me wrong. But I just can't see Baker Mayfield not winning the Heisman Trophy. I just can't see him not winning it. He's been, to me, from start to finish, he's been the best college football player. We talked about Saquon. He had his, you know, meteoric rise, and he leveled off a lot. And not even to be invited to New York, to me, was just shocking that he didn't even get invited. I think Baker wins. The college football playoff, listen, you can't go on the road and lose to Iowa by 30 points. You just cannot do it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm an Ohio State fan, and we won the Big Ten title, and that was awesome. It was great. But then that game is the microcosm of how Ohio State season and how they play plays out. A team you should have destroyed in Wisconsin, if you watch that game, you let them stay in the game and turnovers and bad play calling and just flat out bad pass, that, you know, a horrible passing game by JT Barrett. Can they go in and beat Clemson? Yeah, good JT shows up, but you can't bet on that. I think that really came down to an eye test. And it was like, even with Alabama with their flaws and the injuries on defense mounting up, you're watching an Ohio State team that can't throw the ball down the field consistently. And they still haven't figured that out because Urban Meyer loves JT Barrett. You know, he loves him so much, he's let his objectivity be, you know, is blurred the line. When you say that JT Barrett is not only a part of the Ohio State family, but he's a part of the Meyer family, and I'm going to give him a coaching job as soon as I'm able to. Like, you can't then bench that dude as a senior when you know that the other guy behind him can play better. And, yeah, he's got intangibles. He gets the 4-for-2 run against Wisconsin, but if he doesn't miss 3 touchdown passes, he doesn't have to have the 4-for-2 run. You know what I mean? So I see why they chose Alabama. I really do.
Wow.
You just can't. The thing is, you can't get mad when you get in last year not being a conference champion over Penn State, and then get mad this year when you're the conference champion, don't get in, and Alabama gets in over you. You can't go on the road and lose by 30 to Iowa. Once you do that, you take all the destiny out of your own hands. And then watching that game, like, dude, can we put them in there knowing that they're capable of this and what they did last night against Wisconsin? Like, I understand it. I'm not really mad. I mean, my fandom part of me wants my team to be in the playoffs because if you're not in the playoffs, then you can't win it. But realistically looking at it, I'm like, they have the flaws and coach won't do the things to make the changes for those until that guy is no longer there. So I think the committee just took the decision out of Urban Meyer's hand. Like, you can do that mess against USC in the Cotton Bowl, but you ain't going to do it in the college football playoffs. So that's
wow.
What happened.
Look at you. Voice of reason. The voice of reason. Wow.
JQ being objective too.
I know.
Hey, I try.
Great show. Good.
You know, I obviously don't agree with the decision to put Alabama in over Ohio State, but I totally agree with JQ too. No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm just trying to be as objective as possible here. I totally agree with JQ's point, though. Ohio State still don't have nobody to blame but themselves. The fans should not be blaming the college football committee. I don't agree with the decision, but ultimately, if they beat Iowa, they're in. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
If they beat Iowa or beat Oklahoma at home, I mean, you had them at home. And so you win one of those two games, and you shouldn't be getting blown out at home either, even though Oklahoma is a legitimate football team. And so all you have to do is win one of those games, and it's a moot point. They're in the college football playoffs. I think they still were more deserving in Alabama? Yes, but ultimately, Ohio State has nobody to blame but themselves. It's kind of like, I kind of look at it like this.
You know, some people say, oh, shucks, if it wasn't for the referees with all these fouls in basketball or penalties in football, you don't put it in your officials' hands, and you win it on the field. And the same thing here with Ohio State situation. You don't leave it up to the College Football Committee. You go out and you take care of at least one more of those games, and you're in. And to JQ's point, obviously, Penn State won the Big Ten last year, and Ohio State got in over them just because they had one loss. So so obviously, what the committee is telling us 2 years in a row, and this is the first time the committee has put two teams from the same conference in the playoffs since we've had this format. Yep. And so that was another reason why I thought they would have probably put Ohio State in over them. But when you look at the overall resume, I still thought Ohio State had a better resume. But it's still ultimately they have nobody to blame but themselves. And when you look at this college football, just sneak obviously Clemson, Alabama for the third year in a row. And so that's going to be very intriguing. The interesting part to me with this particular matchup is obviously it's a big win for the Sugar Bowl being able to have that matchup, you know, for the third time in a row. And but it's with Alabama being a four seed, it's somewhat almost like a home game for them. You know, for you, Clemson, you got to be like, man, what are you doing to us? And I think this is going to be another real competitive football game. It's going to be come down to the end. I just think at this moment, I think Clemson is probably going to be too strong for them in the end, just like they were last year. But I think it's going to be a real close football game in the end. And then you look at Georgia, if they can find a way to win, they'll practically be playing at home in the championship game in Atlanta. So that'll be really interesting. I don't think they're going to beat Oklahoma, but Georgia's defense travel, as we know, and they got a month to prepare and put together a game plan for them. So you never know how it goes. But to me, I think Oklahoma's been looking like the best team in college football for the last 2 months. And so we'll see if they can figure out a way to pull this out. And I totally agree, Baker Mayfield definitely will win the Heisman.
Gotcha.
Man, listen, I do not want Georgia to win. I'm sorry. I know that's hateful. Man,
I don't want them to win either.
The reason,
I don't want Georgia or Alabama to win.
Right. I'm just going to charge this up, Dre, but here's the reason. Before I moved to Atlanta, I didn't have any animosity or any feeling really one way or the other towards Georgia. But moving here as an Ohio State fan, the amount of negativity and ridiculousness people used to talk to me at the sports bars and in the street was so ridiculous. It was like, man, you know what? F Georgia, man. You know, who y'all think y'all are? Like,
their fans are very obnoxious.
They're ridiculous. And I was like, come back to reality. And, like, I got that a lot when I got here. And that's really what shaped it. Like, I've got good friends who are Georgia fans, and a piece of me wants them to be happy. But the other piece of me goes back to all the nonsense I had to endure in here when I got here. And if they win a title, bro, oh, man, they're going to be insufferable. It's just going to be hard to deal with them.
Yeah. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, people root for their conference. And I'm not one of those guys that root for other teams in the conference. Because ultimately, you get some recruiting advantages, too. And so, I'm not one of those guys. I lived in Atlanta for 16 years, so I've definitely experienced Georgia fans being very obnoxious. I will give them credit, though, there. I think Georgia Bulldog fans are better fans than Falcons fans. They stick with their team. I'll give them that. And
you know what?
But they are obnoxious. They are very obnoxious fans, though.
Saints fans are obnoxious too, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Georgia fans, they can come off an 8-4 season and swear they're gonna win the national title every year after that. Like, I'm with Rob on that. Like, they're delusional to the point. It's like they're loyal, but it's a fine line between loyal and delusional. They get crazy. Like, oh my god, I know we was 8-4, but we're gonna win it all next year. I was like. Are you?
Yeah. They think Herschel Walker's like, coming through that door every year.
I'll agree with both you guys on that point, too. Being a Georgia Tech fan, I don't have a lot to talk about from that perspective. But, yeah, they definitely are delusional, and they are some fans that you hate. It's just like, man, really? So I could care less. Sometimes you feel like, Baker Mayfield is the best player probably like we talked about, for the Heisman. So he's going to carry that squad. It's going to be tough for Georgia to pull that dead. You know, they're going to have to – yeah. It's, even David Pollack said that. He's like, man, I've looked at a lot of tape, and Baker Mayfield is the truth, man. So it's going to be tough for them,
mm-hmm.
especially against freshman quarterback Jake Fromm's doing his thing. But this is – you know, you got to figure out, you know, defensively, that, but Jake – they haven't played a quarterback like Baker Mayfield yet. So, anyway, we'll talk about that later. Just to wrap this up really quickly, it's been a great show. I do want to comment really quickly about the playoffs, and I agree with you, JQ, and the fact that, you know, we talked about it. Rob said the same thing about Ohio State controlling your own destiny. And thank you for being objective about that too, JQ. I will say this for both of it. For the playoffs, the biggest thing, and I was listening to a lot of details about this, was they kept reiterating, guys, they wanted the four best teams in the playoffs. So with that mm-hmm. being said, do we think those are the four best teams? You know, I would agree that the top three is Alabama better than Ohio State in this instance. Doesn't matter for resume or whatever, but the four best teams. And that's kind of how they came up with the decision to put Alabama in. So I think –
I'm not convinced
that
Alabama's better than Ohio
State, though. Well, like I said, that was the thought process of how they picked that.
Did you all see Alabama's did y'all see the last four games of the season they played?
Yeah, I mean,
not in their entirety, but go ahead. Go ahead.
I think, you know what, they won't say it. This is a referendum on JT Barrett. JT Barrett has held Ohio State back. I think Ohio State is every bit as talented as Alabama is, but they're going to give them out even to an instructor, JT Barrett. Yeah, I understand that, but talented and as a team, they are on par with them. But I think they think that Jalen Hurts is still even his infancy, so to speak, at quarterback, has got more potential explosiveness than JT Barrett does. And I think they won't say it, and they won't single it out to that matchup. But I honestly think it's a referendum on JT Barrett. And those throws we saw him miss against Wisconsin that he's missed all year long, he's always late in his reads. And you can do that against Nebraska and against lesser teams like Rutgers and Maryland, but you can't do that against Alabama. You can't do that against Clemson. You can't do that against Oklahoma. And I think they looked at that and said, that dude can't do it for them. And I think they also felt that. And I agree. I think they felt that. And those two losses, he was bad against Oklahoma. Yep. To Rob's point, you got Oklahoma home, and you got Iowa on the road. If you're one of those games, you can get in. And he played two terrible games when they had to have them. And I think you're looking back there, you're like, I just don't think JT can get it done against a top-notch defense. And we know Urban Meyer ain't going to bench him, so we just going to not put them in. I really think that's a big piece of that Ohio State fans won't necessarily always admit to.
Yeah, and obviously Alabama is a when you look at the way they've dominated college football here for the last 7-8 years or so, I think that had a lot to do with it. But if you objectively really sat down and watched the way they played here at the end of the season with their injuries on defense, they're not the same Alabama. Now, they may get healthy by the time in another month here or so going into the playoffs here. But if you really looked at them this last month of the season, and, you know, a lot of times you don't like to put teams in there that back their way in. They lost their last game of the season. And so that's a rarity that you see a team like that making it to the playoffs, too. And they beat LSU. They only have one loss. They beat LSU and Mississippi State. But if you really watch those games, they both of those teams really had an opportunity to, you know, a couple of things here or there, to beat Alabama. And I know that's coulda, shoulda, woulda, but those games were a lot closer than you would have expected. And then, of course, I don't know if you can make it. I don't know if they were ever in the game against Auburn either. When you look at, you know, part of it always has to be how you're looking toward the end of the season. They lost their last game. Ohio State did go in and with a winning streak into it. So I'm not sure they got the four best teams. I know they got the best three.
Agreed.
That could be up for debate too, because like I said, everyone's going to, you know, who's on that streak and who's playing well, like at the time. The only thing that I'll say too for what Alabama did, and I'm clearly not an Alabama fan, but you actually, once you had your full squad, you beat a Florida State team that was really ranked number three, and they had Francois there. So that was an indicator as far as how good the team is. So they were the one team that literally handed it to Florida State. And at the time, if there's no injuries on that squad, how far they could have been. I don't think they would have been as this. And who knows if Jimbo Fisher would still be there in spite of all that, right? So that's one notch as far as what's happening. And you're going to be playing, you can play in front of you. If they have, they don't have the injuries, who knows, they could have blew through the season. They could have been better against Auburn. They could have literally blew out a couple more teams. But, again, I see what you're saying, Rob, from that point, but it's tough to say coulda, shoulda, coulda. So that's probably what they're thinking. And then not to freaking pile on JQ, but it does suck because that Iowa loss was huge, 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 huge for Ohio State.
Yes.
And that's the problem. Yep. That's like, come on. If they even if they lost by three or lost by one or something to that effect, who knows, it could be a different scenario. And then you talk about last year. Freaking Penn State was the champion, and yet Ohio State gets it. So that's one of those things. Well, you did it last year, guys, so you shouldn't – technically, you shouldn't have made it last year. So now see how it feels. That's kind of – I think they're kind of like making up for what happened last year. That's me. So, again
– Yeah, that could be true.
It was kind of like, hey, we got it out, you know.
You know, another thing I thought the committee might have looked at too, and the way the Big Ten performed the last 2 years in the playoffs. And you look at Ohio State got beat 31-0 last year in the playoffs, and the year before that, Michigan State lost 38-0. The last 2 years, the Big Ten didn't even score a point in the playoffs. And I wonder if that weighed into the committee's head a little bit too. And that's just something that I thought about there as well. And you know, but the Big Ten's performance in the playoffs the last 2 years, where they just those two semifinal matchups the last year was just bad for television all the way around.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, and you talk about Alabama. Like, sometimes it's hard not to give them a lifetime achievement award, so to speak, about what they've done over the past 3 years. And if you're going to give anybody the benefit of the doubt, you're going to give it to Nick Saban, Alabama, because they proved it year in year out. Alabama, Ohio State did it 1 year, but you're absolutely right. Michigan State doors blown off. Ohio State doors blown off. For Alabama, every time they're in it, they ain't getting their doors blown off. They, you know, they either win it or they get beat at the last minute. So it's like, you know, how do we keep them out? So, I mean, I get it. I mean, they're human. You can't take what you know about a program and things you've seen over the years and say, okay, in this meeting today, I'm going to compartmentalize that and put it over here to the right and just look at this. I mean, they're still human. Those factors are going to come in. So I agree with you, Rob. I mean, I think all of that. That's why, you know, you hit it in the head. You win one of those games, you're in. You had your chances. You can't cry. Like you said, don't leave it on the refs. Don't leave it on the officials. If you got a chance to do it yourself, do it yourself. If you don't do it, then, you know, don't cry over spilled milk.
I love it. All right, guys. It's been a great, great show. You guys have been awesome. We appreciate, again, everyone listening into the show. So, Rob, let's go ahead and wrap this up, bro, with another great edition of Talking Sports for 12 Men.
Talking Sports for the 12 Men. We're here to stay, people. Make sure you tune in to us on next week. Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Stay tuned. Every now and again, we may change it to a Tuesday. So make sure you follow us on Twitter and stay posted on our Facebook page if there are any changes. But as of now, we're planning for Wednesday night on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. Good night, people.
Yeah, we only change it. Yeah, we only change when Dre get big time on us, you know, when he be out there kicking it with Ryan Cameron and Ryan Seacrest and whatnot, you know. So we're really going to be in on Wednesday. But, you know, whenever he big time us, we have to move it. But in all honesty, we appreciate y'all sticking to us. You got some objective talk from a Saints fan and a Buckeyes fan. So what else can you ask for? You know what I mean? We ain't out here showing.
And a Falcons fan.
We out here making sure. And a Falcons fan. Absolutely. So, you know, we out here giving it to you straight down the middle as much as we can. We appreciate y'all listening to the show. We holler at you next week.
I was going to say, man, I was pretty objective too, right? I wasn't trying to be all like home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're really objective about your team.
I'm sorry, Dre. I didn't mean to leave you out. And Dre went 15-1 the past 2 weeks in fantasy basketball, just in case y'all missed it.
I just want to make sure that
you
I get my props,
the world
man.
To know that.
I was pretty happy about that. I'm like, dude, I'm over here killing this. Rob better mentioned that on the show. He just said the past 2 weeks, but he didn't give the record. I was like, dude. 7-1, 8-0. That's got to be for something. That's all I'm saying, bro.
Hey,
give me some props.
We got you.
And you had the biggest win in two of the fantasy leagues, the fantasy football.
Yeah,
league,
man.
We gave you props.
Yeah, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
Last year was
straight. You had the biggest win in the league 2 weeks in a row. We got you. We see you. We see you doing the best.
I recognize me, Quest. That's what I'm talking about. I feel like a little trap called Quest. Kids recognize
even though you're only about
5'3",
you're doing it big in fantasy.
5'9" and 3/4", man. Get it right, bro. It's all good. So next week, it's all good. JQ, I can't wait
JQ,
to
just
get
a little,
to you, man.
Just a little history with Andre and I. You know, Andre back in the days always talking about how he wanted to be a quarterback. I would always mess with him and say, man, nobody want a 5'3 quarterback.
Mm-mm. Not 5'3.
You remember what
let me say this, JQ. JQ, there's another history, so I never forget, right? So we decided we were going to play flag football, and we were able to play flag football whenever the Georgia Force, whenever they were playing here. So we were able to play on the same field. It was pretty dope, man. So I got – like our old buddy Jay. So we had like our little squad, right? We thought like, and so we were going to like run. So literally Dre, your boy Dre, I was calling offensive plays. I was like, all right, this is what we're going to do. And I had one play called the money play, right? So literally this is our score play. And then so we were like doing this thing. And then so we had this one guy. I remember Wayne, like one of Rob Spoon's, his name was Wayne. Wayne was calling the defense, and then one dude didn't like speak English. What's your boy doing, man? It was so funny. And see, and Rob was like, I need to take over
the
defense and play call.
We went out there looking horrible.
We just got run over. And so Rob was like, I need to take over the defense and play call. I'm like, Rob, I'm doing my job over here. You got to get your boy.
We went out there, man, and got beat. We were 0-4 games.
But we tried
hard.
Oh, no. We were scoring.
It wasn't even close.
But then they were scoring up, so that was a problem.
No.
Man. Oh, gosh. That was so funny. We thought we were going to do some stuff, but then they just kind of like running all over us. I was like, Rob, you're a boy. Rob was like, I didn't take over the defensive play calling. I'm like, yes, you do. Oh, man. That was so funny. Oh,
shout
man.
Out to Wayne. I hope you keep I hope you keep listening to the show, Wayne.
So Wayne was good, though. I think it was just funny. But the way that Rob said it, it still cracks me up to this day. And he was like, I got to take over the defensive play calling. Oh, gosh. You remember that, Rob?
Oh, man.
You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That was so much
fun.
Oh,
man, I remember how we thought we had it all together, man. We were going to go out there, man. We got to play four times.
Hey, we were scoring, though. We were scoring. I was like, money play? Oh, man. Jay was our quarterback.
Oh, y'all are crazy.
Oh, man. We should do something like that again, right? That was freaking fun. But I mean, we would be too old to be running around routes like that. But it was
I was gonna say I'm old. I'm old now.
Like where we got embarrassed, man. Those guys.
I've been playing like a lot of zone.
Like semi-pro players, man. We were getting
spanked. We didn't know that though. They were semi-pro. JQ. These jokers are semi-pro. So we got chased down. I was like, I don't know about this. He put his head up like Randy Moss.
We thought we were
going
to be
playing against
some
street balls.
Yeah.
He put his head up like Randy Moss. We're like, oh, that's him. Touchdown.
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, man. He ran right by us. I'm like, well that was. Oh, man.
Man, what kind of food is Andre got us into?
Yeah, man,
but
y'all are crazy.
But you gotta admit that was fun, though. Right? I mean, that was an experience, right? Right, Rob? You gotta.
It was an experience, but it's never fun losing.
Yeah, Rob. I mean, Rob said, "Bump that. That shit was not fun. We got spanked."
Now the first game, we were like, "All right, that was good. We kind of got beat."
Glad we didn't invite our wives and girlfriends out there.
No. And then the second game, it was like, "What are we in?" The third game, like, man.
What did we do?
And then the fourth game, we're like, bruh. I was out of place for just pride at that juncture because this was over.
Oh, man.
I was like, I got to think
of
the defensive
to
play
be
call.
Like, who are these dudes out here?
They did not.
Bro, we
did not know.
We just didn't have. I mean,
stupid.
It was just like random people. Like, we didn't grab, like, I'm going to grab my 6'3 buddy that played like semi pro. I was like, hey, this was kind of come together for fun. And it turned out to be like, man, these guys thought they were going to get signed up for like punt, pass, and kick or something, man. It was nuts, man. So maybe I may have misunderstood and misrepresented the talent there. But again, it was for
definitely
a good cause for us to hang out as boys, and I have fun. Man. Rob maybe didn't have fun, but I thought it was pretty cool. So I
no, it was fun, but man, good thing we, like I said,
I don't like losing either.
We ain't inviting our wives and girlfriends at the time.
But granted, we didn't know what to expect.
Invite your homeboys.
But we didn't know what to, JQ, we didn't know what to expect. You go in there like, you know, it's like, hey, here's an opportunity. Let's play like flag football. I'm like, yo, this is kind of fun. Let's do this. And I'm like, Rob, you know, yeah, all right, mm-hmm. Let's get Wayne. Now, I'm not saying that Wayne wasn't the best athlete. I mean, no one, we didn't know, man. It's just like, you know. I mean, I've seen some cats are drinking beer and out, you know, route running this, man. It's crazy, man. So it was just kind of an experience. Oh, man. Whew. Rob had to bring that up, man. I was having a good night. So you brought that up, man. Oh, man. All right. I'm sorry. I can't believe Rob brought that up. All right. A lot of love. I'm going to let you guys know. I know it's late. But America, they're going to get big kick out of that show. I'm going to listen to the show again. That's going to be like so many memories, too, man. So, it's all good. All I know
you're
going to
be dreaming about the butt whippings we got tonight, Andre.
My offensive play calls were working, bro. We were scoring, but we just got
Hey, was y'all out there like remember the Titans? Like, man, it's like Monday Night Football out here.
Now, JQ, let me give you Andre's definition of scoring. We might have been scoring 6-12 points. Now the team was scoring 40-50.
Hey, we scored some points. It wasn't 40 points, Rob. Come on, you acting like we get like we got like told like the we got our like, ass kicked, man. Come on, man. We were actually going down the field on them. Now it's not like now we were just like totally like just getting our ass handed to us. Now defensively there were some problems.
Oh, that's right.
There were some communication issues. I'm just saying. All right.
What? So you know he fired when we start cussing.
I apologize.
Hey, man, I love it.
Rob likes to, like, freaking, like, push my buttons, too, man. Everything is good. I try to be composed, and he, like, pulls out some crap like that, and it's on, man. So, he laughs about it, too.
Oh, man.
Muddy play. I still got the plays drawn up, JP.
Oh, my goodness.
I got them, bro.
Email us that losing playbook.
Bro, it wasn't
got
the offensive side,
in it.
Bro. It was the defense, bro. What? Come on, man. Defense wins championships, right? I was doing my thing.
Oh my goodness.
We were going down the field, man. See,
I'm going to sleep.
Okay.
I'm going to sleep.
Think you heard enough.
Come
on. JQ had a rough week. You don't want to hear this.
We strong.
He had enough with the Eagles in Ohio State.
Yeah, he had that real quick. All right. Good night. Good night, guys. We'll see you next week.
Oh, bro. Man. Yes, sir. Love y'all. I'll holler at y'all next week.
Good night,
people.
Peace out.
Good night, folks.